Welcome back, Peter Grandage.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
So what do you think? Are we looking at another 87, 2000, 2008? Could it be worse? Could we see a 1929 meltdown?
I think 1929 is not in the cards simply because of there really wasn't any so-called safeguards in place then or government assistance. I think there is enough out there to prevent an overnight depression. But what I do think is that people are very overextended in their hope and dreams of the stock market to somehow make their life better by just continuously going higher and higher. And where I see that most is I deal mostly with small to mid-sized business owners and professionals. And the complacency was one thing earlier in the year, but now the enthusiasms and how many are telling me how they're buying cryptocurrency new issues and speculating and now staying home and trading. Just a year ago, they were worried about their jobs. There are just so many signs that after, you know, 33 years in and around the financial arena, there's so many signs now that you see these things happen towards the end of something. Now, that doesn't mean it can't still run some. I'm certain in the height of the tulip bulb mania, there were people certain that 30% or even 50% below where it finally peaked thought it had already peaked. But we're in a mania. We are in a major bubble on several fronts. And it's only a question of where they break from. Now, will there be a few people who could ride this out and get out just before it does? Yes, but the vast majority won't. And then the pain period will begin. And that's where I think where we really run into problems, unlike in past declines when people were, believe it or not, in better shape to withstand a financial crisis. I don't think we have that ability anymore. That's why I think it will be severe. And I think it will be as long as a generation before we would have another type of financial asset boom as we witnessed in these last couple of years.
No, I think it's well said. I mean, we saw the same thing, didn't we, in 99-2000. I mean, just a few emerged as solid companies like Amazon.com, folks who are really doing the work, the leaders, the movers, the shakers. Are we facing something like that? Obviously, gold has started to shine a little bit here in recent weeks. We've seen some interest. Last week, silver bounced about 50 cents. The XAU shares look like they might be putting in a bottom. Institutional interest coming back into the markets.
Well, Chris, I'm 4 years, I'll be starting my fifth year removed from working within the metals and mining industry. Yet I can tell you that 33 years total of being involved in the financial arena, this is the best looking potential I've seen for a sustained rally for gold and silver. I really think that we've in the earliest stages of what will end up being a much bigger, although slower rise than we saw a few years back when we ran towards the old nominal highs. I'm convinced, and I wrote about it a few weeks ago, that upon taking out the 1375-1400 area in the first half, sometime in the first half of next year, we'll see an acceleration of interest, and it'll probably be in conjunction with at least a serious correction, if not the downturn in the equity and bond market, and that will propel gold, in my view, to a new nominal high by the year 2020, if not sooner. So I look at this past year as a very beneficial year, given the fact that, again, outside of the very small, I hate using this word, but that's what they always use, the terminology, gold bug community, there were not many people looking for gold to rise. Many were still predicting this time last year was going under 1,000. It was a relic. It was done. And it had a decent gain. In fact, if it wasn't for the unusual gains in the stock market, we would be very happy with a 10 to 12% rise in any investment. So the fact that the stock market was working against it, cryptocurrencies for a short period of time were working against it, and basically still in North America, a total lack of interest in the financial community as gold as an investment. The fact that it's been able to do what it's done, I think has set the stage for better times, and 2018 will be much better than even 2017.
I see some of your points, but if you kind of delve into the correlation matrices on gold versus the cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, I don't really feel is so at odds with gold. They're not so much at the opposite ends of the spectrum, the way that you might say the S&P 500 is just, it's the polar opposite of gold, which of course comes in handy when you're trying to balance a portfolio. The potential for gold and silver to have a Bitcoin-like moment. Everyone knows there's a limited supply of Bitcoin. There's only 16 million outstanding right now. Another 5 million to be exact will be unleashed by mining operations by about 2040. Very limited supply bears similarities with gold and silver. But there's one catch. It's bounded by this enormous COMEX paper money scheme. Do you think there could come a time when the physical bullion numismatics and shares break free, are unshackled the way that Bitcoin has?
I think we should put to rest the nonsense that used to be a ploy by the shorting group or the gold cartel or whatever name that used to be given to them, because of all the uncovering now of actual conspiracy and manipulation cases, including in the gold market. So all the people that said none of these things happen have been proven wrong, whether it was interest rates, treasury bonds, currencies, they've all been manipulated. I think 2017 probably is a breakout year in terms of the manipulators. We've seen some what used to look like similar attacks where gold will billions of dollars in nominal gold will be paper traded at the worst hour when any real trader, if they were truly trying to get a decent price, would never trade in that manner. So it was clear and evident that there was causes for them to do that beyond just looking to sell something. We now used to see that last sometimes for as much as months of an effect. Now at best it has a few days, if not just a few hours, before gold is able to retrace the decline that was seen by those attacks. So I think one of the key factors to that, and it's ironic because I'm not in the metals market in the way for a livelihood, but I'm more observant and not tilted biased, even though I tried never being biased when I was in the business. And that is the fact that we're seeing most of the trading leave the hands of the Western world and move to the Far East. The exchanges now that have opened up in the Far East to trade gold have really put a limit to what the COMEX can do these days, or what many of us used to call, I guess some still may do, the CRIMEX. And the bottom line is, I just think that whether or not it takes a Bitcoin approach and people look at it in a similar fashion, I think the general fundamentals that have destined gold to be what it always should be, an alternative to paper currencies, has never been set up better, at least since it's been free trading. The thing that's not talked about, because again, gold just isn't something that's talked about in the financial service community. It's left for people like you and others who devote themselves to it. It's not something the financial service industry spends any money or hires people to spend time and money on. The fact that the supply demand scenario is becoming acute, most of what's heard in the mining industry now, both publicly and privately, is that there really is a peak gold scenario, that because of so many years of not spending a lot of money to look for new deposits, and the fact that it's become harder and harder when deposits are fine to make them worth exploring at prices that we see now, there is a dynamic that's set up with just a little bit of the money coming out of financial assets into the gold market and silver market now, I think can have that similar rise. It may not be 8,000% in a year, but I think it will certainly propel gold, bringing back the momentum traders. And again, like I said, the whole area that this rests on, that I say, if you could tell me the future that we've traded above this and we stayed a week or more above 1,400, I would be absolutely convinced, at risk whatever is left of my reputation, that we will be well on to nominal highs within a couple of years after that.
Well, your reputation is going to remain intact as far as we're concerned here, because we're en route for that to take place in the next few weeks. Of course, no crystal ball, no promises, and no investing advice, just opinions. I think you kind of led up to this next question almost perfectly. What I think is maybe one of the most overlooked aspects of the cryptos versus gold argument. I don't know if you're aware of this, because you say you've been outside the field for a few years, but there's a big backlash right now underway against the gold crowd. I take the opposite view, and I'm in the minority, I admit. How is Bitcoin really the antithesis? How is that our nemesis of people who appreciate gold? Cryptos are so destabilizing to fiat currency that we could literally see a collapse in fiat money. In fact, we're looking at the ultimate bubble, maybe fiat money. And if we take a look at the last 100 years, the track record certainly seems to indicate it, that it may be the biggest of all time. Everything's denominated in dollars, and that trend may be coming to an end, the end of a bubble. And what he seems to be implying here in one of his latest articles, it's cannibalizing government currencies and is absorbing the inflation. As those fiat dollars, as the reserve currencies lose their hegemony, we will see precious metals as a colleague moving significantly higher, because people will realize, wait a minute, Bitcoin may have started it. Gold and silver will finish this trend.
Well, I think what you're onto there is this thought, and it certainly has been, I'm a complete novice in this area, but I do think what you brought up is very important in this sense. I think no matter what happens from Bitcoin and others at this point, I think it's awakened the investment community to the fact that the main reason people are willing to run into this and all is they're very concerned about fiat currencies and how governments are handling things and how governments are running. So they've opened the thought to alternatives to standards that what I would call the don't worry, be happy crowd would always sell stocks and bonds. And even if they were to blow up now, I think that people would see the dust, it would settle and go, well, wait a minute, the theory was right, maybe the support was not there because it didn't have the history and the track record, but wait a minute, there's something with a couple thousand years track record that I think can fill the void now. And so, yeah, I think in that regard, I think it's important. But I too would be, I guess, more in your interest that I don't really view it as a big negative. It might have taken away the speculators for the moment that might have run into gold and all, but I think it's created a new dynamic for people to start thinking about that you need something that you can't count on the government to do, and that's where I think the fallback, as you point back, could open the door and allow gold and silver to pick up or take the baton that the Bitcoins of the world had started with.
Exactly. And I think it will continue. Of course, we have to take these things one step at a time. You may remember when silver was at 50 in 2011, we were all convinced it's headed straight to 100, right? Because why would it stop? Gold just more than doubled its 1980s peak. Silver should do the same. Well, it didn't come to pass. So there's no guarantees in the market other than diversification. Markowitz gave us that wonderful free lunch, as they refer to it now. But with that in mind, I mean, using Metcalfe's law, we see the network aspect of Bitcoin sending it much higher. We're looking for 25 to 35,000 next year if, again, the bubble doesn't pop. There are alternatives to U.S. shares, to a 30-year bond bubble. And there are alternatives to government-issued debt, i.e. fiat money and treasury, you know, as well as overpriced real estate. Again, not to disparage any of those asset classes, we need a diversified portfolio, but I need a hedge here. Peter Grandich, great stuff today. We want to wish you and your family, of course, the best Thanksgiving holiday. Could you tell us more about Peter Grandich and Company?
Peter Grandich and Company, main business for both the general public and professional athletes, is a retirement business and estate planning. And all the information you would need, including access to our free blog, is at Peter Grandich, one word, Peter, GRANDICH.com. Thank you, sir.
We With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%, totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.